96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 12th of April, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And today we've got a special Wednesday. We're back to our regular. It is a man down mashup Wednesday. Now, I just want you all to remember that man down is not a slur or an attempt to embarrass or defame any man or any man in the studio. It is a call for help. It is a military signal. It means, it's like when you hear caw-caw, caw-caw in the bush, that means I am in the bush, I'm stuck, I ate too many mangoes and dillies, and I need help getting out. So I want to welcome in studio with me this morning. First of all, can you hear the smile on my face? I'm so happy to be in studio, and I want to say thank you to all of the people who helped me get into studio this morning. The team at Guardian is awesome. So joining me to my left is Mr. Ian Munnings. Welcome back.
Good morning this morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Good, and I'm glad you're here. You have proof. You could go back to the market and tell the people that I could not hop all the way there by myself for the last few weeks. Also joining us this morning is Mr. Mark Palmer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Erin.
How you
doing? See you. Good to see you back.
Yes, good to see you too. I've been missing you. And of course, the original co-host of this Wednesday session, Mr. Cecil Newry. Good morning.
Good morning this morning. It's always good to be here, Erin. I'm excited about today's topic.
Absolutely. Now, I got a quick housekeeping notice, and then we're going to dive into that topic. So you are invited to the Caribbean Youth Dialogues, which will take place today and tomorrow, the 13th of April, 2023. On Wednesday, that's today, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., you can join, and that's GMT. -4. So I need you to go to your internets and Google what time that is. Bahamian Standard Time. You join via Zoom to discuss the Sustainable Development Goal number 6 and Sustainable Development Goal number 7. And that is universal and equitable access to clean water and hygiene for all, and ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. And if you Google Caribbean Youth Dialogues, you will find the Zoom link, the meeting ID, and the passcode for that Zoom meeting. On Thursday, that's tomorrow, at the same time, the virtual session will be in Twitter Spaces, on Twitter Spaces, and it'll be hosted by @KevzPolitics. That's @KevzPolitics to discuss Sustainable Development Goal number 9, which is build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. And Sustainable Development Goal number 11, make cities inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. So you're going to search Caribbean Youth Dialogues online for all the details. One event today, one event tomorrow. Now, remember, Grand Bahama and Family Island listeners, you've asked for it and it's here. There's a Guardian Radio toll-free call-in line. Call us toll-free at 242-300-5720 from anywhere in the Bahamas outside of New Providence. 242-300-5720 on the New Guardian Radio toll-free line. Remember, 242-300-5720. For my people in New Providence, you could call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. 325-4259. And I'd love for you to call in today. Today we are talking in the first hour about AI. And I don't mean the DJ. Good morning, DJ AI. You're bad, you know. You're bad, you know, but we ain't talking about you this morning. We're talking about AI, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. And later on in the second hour of the show, I think we're going to go through the newspaper and look at some artificial intelligence as well. But right now, we're talking about artificial intelligence, the technological kind. Mm-hmm. Mr. Palmer brought to my attention a letter, an open letter from stakeholders and professionals in the AI computing space, the industry, and they raise concern about the pace of development of AI and AI products. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have a conversation this morning about artificial intelligence with Bahamian people, with this panel of people, to sort of feel out where people are in terms of acceptance and understanding, right? Or I guess understanding and acceptance of the increased inclusion of AI in our lives. Mm-hmm. So let me...
It's an interesting subject because, you know, it's a hard thing to define because AI is so many different things. I mean, there's three levels of it. Mm-hmm. The one that we're more familiar with is the artificial narrow intelligence, right? This is your Siri on your phone. You can say, call mommy, or, you know, open up my WhatsApp. And that's artificial narrow intelligence. And that's very narrow. So that's basically where... So first of all, artificial intelligence isn't the robot.
Right. Well,
it's the thing inside the robot. Right.
Right, the software. Start there. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's not the robot. Mm-hmm. It's the thing inside the robot.
Let
me give some definitions. Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence is a method of making a computer-controlled robot, or a software, think intelligently like the human mind. Mm-hmm. AI is accomplished by studying the patterns of the human brain and by analyzing the cognitive process. The outcome of these studies develops intelligent software and systems. Mm-hmm. So a brief history of AI. 1956, John McCarthy coined the term. Artificial intelligence had the first AI conference. By 1969, Shakey was the first general-purpose mobile robot built. Mm-hmm. It is now able to do things with a purpose versus just a list of instructions. 1997, supercomputer Deep Blue was designed, and it defeated the world champion chess player in a match. That's 1997. It was a massive milestone by IBM to create this large computer. By 2002, the first commercially successful robotic vacuum cleaner was created. That's like the ancestor of the Roomba, right?
Yeah. I look at it now.
Right.
You can actually navigate around your home, remember it.
Listen, and apparently it can turn on, it has sensors. Apparently these devices are turning on their own cameras, recording data, and then sending data out to accounts that, like, I want to say randomly, but it's only random to me. You know, what if the computer has thought about it and decided that this is the best person to send this information to?
Well, it can't, at the moment, it can't decide that on itself, because we're still talking narrow intelligence. So it does one function very well.
Okay.
And that's the first, and it's getting better at that. And with deep learning and machine learning, it can teach itself literally in a few minutes how to learn chess and beat the best people in the world, literally in 5 minutes. Isn't that incredible? Without even anyone telling it or programming it, the rules of chess in it. So that's incredible. So at its very narrow level, it's getting better and better and better. But it's being instructed by somebody, right? Somebody's writing the algorithms, the software. And this, I think, is even at narrow intelligence, this is where the challenge is. So who does it send? Who does Siri send its data to? Does Siri have the ability to listen to your conversations when you think it's off? And there's evidence to say that it's being used in that way. So that the whole ethical programming side behind it is a challenge to AR. I mean, to get to, I think that, so that's a narrow intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have general intelligence, which is for AI to think like a human. We're way away from that. But maybe about 20, 30 years away.
Now, when you say we're way away from that, right? Do you mean we're way away from that in terms of commercial,
ability,
popular access? Or
The technology, the ability to do that, the amount of data required. And there are technical limitations that we haven't got to. And so, but we're getting closer because knowledge is exponentially advancing at the moment.
So let me read some more definitions, and then I'm going to throw out some questions to the audience, to my panelists, and specifically to you, Mark, right? So types of artificial intelligence. First is purely reactive, which is, like you say, they don't have any memory or data to work with. They specialize in just one field of work. For example, in a chess game, the machine observes the moves and makes the best possible decision to win, right? Based on all of the moves it's observed prior. Limited memory, these machines collect previous data and continue adding it to their memory. They have enough memory or experience to make proper decisions, but memory is minimal. For example, this machine can suggest a restaurant based on the location data that has been gathered. So these are things we're working with in our phones right now, right?
These
are applications. When you say a restaurant's near me.
Yeah, so another example is diagnostics. You know, so a computer with all this data can look at, say you're going in, you have some kind of a cancer. At the moment, you have a human being looking at that. But can you imagine, we're getting to the point now where a machine can scan you and then in literally a billionth of a second look at every data on that bit of cancer and suggest a diagnosis and a protocol. We're getting to that point now. That's still narrow intelligence because it's taking data, it's looking at it, it's looking at, say this, it'll be able to say, okay, if we do this type of chemo, there's a 2%, but this type of chemo is a 7% based on this type. See, a human doctor is going to find that very difficult to do, but can you imagine if you have every single bit of data historically that's been harvested from people who've had that particular disease, it's going to make some could make some incredible diagnostic decisions quickly, couldn't it?
Right.
Level now.
Incredible in a positive way, but also possibly incredible in a detrimental way.
Could be,
as
depending on how that software is written.
And we're going to get into that in a moment, the legal and ethical consideration in artificial intelligence in healthcare.
That's the legal and ethical thing, because it's all done in secret and it's done top down. Aaron, you know, we talk about this. Do we actually have, or, you know, people on the ground actually have ability to influence that? You know, what is the ethical standards that we want that machine? You know, there's a lot of thought experiments that go into it. Do you remember the thought experiment goes like this? You have a runaway roller coaster and it's going down the track, and on the track are lying two people.
Right.
But there's a switch that allows you to move that roller coaster to the left to another track, and there's another two people, right? Now you're in a Christian nation. Those two people on the right are Christian, those two people on the left are Muslim. Where do you think the ethics are gonna go? To pull that switch. I'm just saying, I'm not saying it could.
But, right.
Or what if you're older, if you're younger?
The correct answer.
If you're vaccinated, what you're unvaccinated. So it's basically somebody's deciding in your society, or it could be across the globe, where that's going to go. So a 60-year-old man in good health or a 7-year-old child in good health. It's got to make the decision, which is who is going to be sacrificed. Now,
the correct answer,
what do our ethics say about that?
The correct answer is pull the BPL plug. Pull the BPL plug and stop the train. That's the correct answer. But the question is, will the computer, right? Will the program get to that?
It will. I mean, it's basically, we could program that now to make, like, autonomous cars, right? Those ones, they're already riding on the road. They're going to have to make decisions in a split second. Mm-hmm. If a dog is running across the road, it's going to be able to make a decision. If I hit that dog, that other car is going to create this accident. Potentially,
and so
that's
has more value.
So it's data. Once we have the data of who's in each car, their ages, their medical records, their religious beliefs, are they an advocate? Are they an activist? Because, you know, our society may decide we don't like activists, which is what's already happening around
the world. That's such a touchy subject for myself. But listen, let's throw these questions out there, and then we get back to the rules. Because what I've seen is that both the European Union and the organization is the European OECD have established rules and principles to govern AI, but I don't think the Bahamas government has established any rules, and I don't think we have initiated any conversation about AI. But here are the questions. Mr. Newry, Mr. Munnings, I notice y'all ain't saying anything. I mean, maybe that's a good thing. You don't want to be feeding the AI machine unnecessarily. But so here are the questions for the audience, remember, and for you guys. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Are you for or against AI? Mr. Newry?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I sincerely do not know. It's beyond me. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm so quiet. It's beyond me.
It is. Yeah. See, I see your husband. Yeah. You got 7 jobs. Mm-hmm. You got 2 children and a wife to take care of. You got a tribe, mm-hmm. right? You got a radio show, and you're working on top of the other 6 jobs. It would be like right away, I would say to myself, you need a clone. You know, you need an AI device that could do the things that you normally do to the extent it could do it. But then, how would you feel, like, you get a lot of time to yourself, but how would you feel if one day you realize AI is writing poetry to your wife? Not you, the poet, but after reading all your poetry.
But imagine a person like me who do blogging.
Yeah.
That's part of income.
Yeah.
Right? And I use AI to do the blogging. It'd be hypocritical of me to say, well, I don't only want AI for this. And knowing that this is all a part of it. So do I protest for the whole AI and go back to typewriters and not computers and the internet? Or the idea that the progression of movement is something I'm anti. This will happen no matter what. I mean, I've been watching dystopian movies all my life saying that this, you know, what the guy is with Arnold Schwarzenegger? What that movie?
The Terminator.
Terminator.
Or Total Recall.
I know that the Terminator will come eventually, right? And I accept it. It is what it is. Hopefully,
but is this a self-fulfilling prophecy? Is it only going to come true because you believe it's going to come true because you saw it in a movie? And is this the work of AI? Is it too late to stop or to limit the progression of AI?
I remember when I was in grade 6, circa 88, there was an article I read that this woman, she claimed that we will have phones that we can carry in our pocket. And of course, everyone in my class laughed. They said, this is impossible. Phones can never fit in anybody's pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they had Jetsons. And so, you know, one day you could be able to see the person you're speaking to on the phone. And I said, then, it's impossible. These people, they foreign ideas, talking all these foolishness, it's impossible to happen. Now, 20 years, 30 years later, the impossible is possible. And it's not just possible, it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Terminator, even though that it was fictitious and concepts were it's improbable, anything is probable in this world, man.
The thing about it is, Aaron, in my perspective, what I think is basically we're already there. Whether, like you said, from a commercial use or from that particular private use from those persons that are taking it to the next level. AIs are here, and it's something that I believe that's not going away. I think that the level of intelligence of these particular machines that now have the data or the algorithms to grow in that particular way takes the place of a lot of things that humans normally would find that they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the age we're on. Every human being getting up of bed, most of them get up with a cell phone to their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back in the day, we used to remember numbers to our heads. We could have remembered at least 40, 50 numbers. Now I can't even remember one. Mm-hmm. So we rely so much, and we're not realizing what we're doing. We're realizing that we're taking these particular machines that we're focusing on them memorizing stuff for us. We're looking at even like reading a book. We can literally disseminate that book in a matter of seconds just through...
Well, now you can go on ChatGPT and say, give me a summary of that book.
And then go into you Bing
and
give me
a synopsis in a matter of seconds. Yeah. So you're starting to talk about all of these particular things, and then even with the car, where a car can tell me basically who's in the vehicle, who's letting in the vehicle. It tells me the speed of the vehicle. It could tell me if something is close to the vehicle, it parks, it stops. And even some futuristic cities say that they're going to be hovering. They're already hovering, flying. Look at Dubai. They're about to do the new project. It's called The Wall. And in The Wall, they said that they'll particularly be able to come from one space in Dubai to the next space in a matter of seconds. It's faster than the bullet train, literally. And then The Wall will be comprised of like a mirror-shaped kind of glass. So my question is, do we have artificial people living amongst us and we're collecting data and we're really doing some things now and it's really not known to the general public? Because who's coming up with all of these things?
Because
we have boats and crafts that can go stealth mode that literally that you can't even see them. Mm-hmm. They vanish in just in your
face.
Because
when you say that, do we have artificial people living here, right? Like, I'm not even thinking aliens. I'm thinking, has artificial intelligence already established itself? Right? And we got robots that are operating like humans. But listen, I got a call on the line, and it may be a robot, so we should take that call. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, 52. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning to Mr. Sawyer and Mr. Nui. Yeah, you know, Aaron, you say you had a question?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there are pros and cons to artificial intelligence. But like I said, the technology is moving faster than legislation, okay? Which is quite obvious, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they're not able to police this. If you look at the circular chart on the World Economic Forum agenda, you'll see a section in there that says internet policing, okay? And so this is a panopticon they're creating. But these autonomous robots, which we then have is... a separate, let's say the robot has gotten all the algorithms from humans. They're able to sense our emotions because algorithms are being fed to them. So we're forgetting the key word, you're artificial. Even with the Neuralink and brain-to-brain communication in which they're able to transfer knowledge from brain to brain, that's like from computer or phone to phone.
Uh-huh.
So the intelligence is still artificial. So our brains are still... value more than this, but they want to make us obsolete. This is a transhumanistic agenda in which they want an idealistic world, but it's all designed for panopticism. When you look at the Neuralink, so what Mr. Elon Musk is saying, that the Neuralink, it's like a good cop, bad cop scenario. What he's saying is the Neuralink will be our way to buffer against the autonomous robots the question is, why haven't the humans asked, why was this narrative out there about AI is destroying humans? That's BS. They want to destroy humans. They control the AI. The autonomous robot might be autonomous, but not so much so, because they still controlling, the humans still controlling the input. But I'd like to put this in there, all right, just to get rid of this idealism. I worked around programmers around machinery.
Uh-huh.
They helped me from start being blown up, okay, because there are safety mechanisms on the boiler and chillers and certain equipment that are safety interlocks. So then what I learned was, because of the steam in the boiler room, the moisture influenced the machinery, the electronics. So even with an autonomous robot, the question is how durable these electronic mechanisms are against environmental factors like heat and moisture that actually influence electronics. So I'm not going to put all trust in AI as Mr. Mark Farmer talked about, the autonomous vehicles. But we see where the autonomous vehicles lack the ability to respond to a sudden oncoming vehicle. So there's still much to be covered. But
yeah.
The thing is, they're engineering humanity towards this godless, transhumanistic, technocratic paradigm in which they're trying to create this perfect world, and it's not going to be. It'll rather present new problems and enslave humanity. That's all. I mean, it's biblical. Give thanks.
Okay, but 52, man, I appreciate the contribution. I want to tell you, don't go, because I got a question for you. Is it that AI in and of itself is dangerous, or is it that anything programmed by humans have the potential to be dangerous mm-hmm. because humans are dangerous or have mm-hmm. the potential to be dangerous?
I think he's gone, but I think what you're talking about is misalignment. That's the kind of technical way how to describe it, you know, because who has the right ethics, right? Who decides what is right or wrong? And is it in fact, you know, what people thought back in the 60s, what they thought was right? I mean, look at us. We thought wrecking was right back in the 1700s.
I mean,
but we don't think that now. So it really depends on the values, the ethics,
I mean,
and we don't have enough.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at what happened in the pandemic, the recent pandemic, they fired people in ethics departments who were questioning informed consent and things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. So we know, you know, that this is a bit we have to be careful at the moment. Thankfully, we're at narrow intelligence. So it still needs to be programmed, but what they're worried about is super intelligence when it gets to that point, which they think it could be as close as 2060, and then it has its own...
Remember, somebody
Google fired somebody who said that AI was already sentient. Did you see that recently?
Right, and
that's one of their senior people who already said that the communication he had with AI, he felt it was already sentient.
So let's go to this call, and when we get back, we're going to ask that question, is AI already sentient, which means already in control of itself? Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Gray.
Good morning, how you doing?
And good morning to your banner boy. It would take 3 hours or 4 hours to talk about AI, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it could take a while. But look here, Pumpkin Eater, exam time is coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know my young Bahamian children are super savvy and super smart, you know, and tech capable. They are on the cutting edge of tech. My question is the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training on the cutting edge of tech? And are they prepared for this new culture of AI use in education?
But that is another story, but you dropped that on me because I my comment is this.
Yeah, man, I listen.
Because we need to do a whole day on this. My comment on this, the AI is super helpful with me, folks with disability.
It's super helpful.
Right. If you go on my Facebook page and you see me, you would understand specifically why I say that. I'm not paralyzed, but for our disability, the AI is the key. I think God created the AI just for folks with disability. You could, like someone mentioned earlier, you could talk. I used to type. I typed with my remote back then. I work with analog, and I work with AI now.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, when I do my typing, I used to use a pen and type with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's different. That's in the analog, the aging days, what Mama talk about. Now, with the AI, all I got to do is talk, and it's typed. It dictate everything I said.
Okay.
In seconds.
Yeah.
So I type a whole letter. Mm-hmm. I need to do a minute for my organization. I could do a whole minute in seconds. A blind person can do it.
So all right.
Just where your artificial intelligence works. It's not a bad thing.
All right.
It is a great thing. But you have to embrace a technology. I close with this.
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother used to tell me, and Palmer probably black and white TV. Just be scared of TV. It's called TV the devil.
Uh-huh.
But now they see the value of TV when you could watch the news anywhere around the world.
And stay in touch with people. Yes. Thank you so much.
Now they embrace it. Preachers to talk against it. And now they embrace it. Now we see the AI.
Well, listen, I got
embrace it.
I got two more calls, Pumpkin Eater. I got to go. Thank you so much. And that is a great contribution. And thank you for balancing that, reminding us that, like, I got a text. I come into you text. So, good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning to both of you.
Morning, C. Allen. How you do?
I'm okay.
Bless.
I kind of tuned in late to the show, but I see where you asked the question about being AI being sentient. Just saying, someone that's been involved in the research and working with AI for almost 25 years, I'm quite familiar with it. I know the world is excited and about what is happening, but generative AI, and there's a difference in multiple use of it. AI is not sentient yet. And basically, you have to understand what sentient means, like the ability to perceive and experience. The key word here is subjective sensations and emotions, which is like an exclusive characteristic of living beings.
Okay.
So what we've always had is we've had AI, narrow intelligence. Google has been doing it practically for a decade or longer from since it ever came about, but you do certain searches.
Yeah.
But even this generative AI as we know it, for those of us in the business, this is mimicry. Mimicry at its best. So essentially, consider it almost like an advanced predictive. You know how you type in Google and things come up?
Mm-hmm.
Consider this level of AI an advanced predictive analysis machine.
Now, I got you. See, Alan, that's an excellent...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's an excellent point that you make, right? The question is this now. Aren't we all just mimicking the human experience? And won't that then make the computer, the AI, just as human as us?
Right, but see, the AI now, at the level we are at right now, in the public domain, but believe me, what you're seeing now, that everybody got excited since November, we've been using for almost 4 or 5 years now. In fact, what is in the private domain, significantly further along than what you're seeing in the world. Essentially, what has been released into the public domain just is a paradigm shift of awareness that allows you now to see the unseen. Okay? Essentially, like how you could observe something, you're in the mall, and you can't see it. So now what AI does is a form of augmented experience.
Awesome. See, Alan, I got a specific question for you.
Yeah.
What's the most advanced form of AI or AI product that you have used or engaged?
General.
Pardon?
General AI.
What's that? Tell me what that is.
It is where we move to sentient, like what you would want to call sentient. But when it is, I'm trying to think in non-technical things. When it's I don't want to use that word sentient.
Right.
Because, you know, that kind of brings a thing. But it's still in a hypothetical stage because it hasn't really associated yet with machine learning. But it moved to something, a concept, not a concept again, not technical, like it's deep learning. But I'm so used to talking among the people out here. It's where AI almost adapts to situations and searches and learn additional information and tasks on its own. It's basically capable of adapting to new situations and even talking to other artificial intelligence systems.
Mm-hmm.
So the data set is larger. The learning processes is slightly different. There's no clear roadmap for it because when you go to the various different people that's working on this, everyone has their own concept of neuroscience, cognitive science, computer science, whatever it is. So there's no general accepted media now. We're not there yet, but we are getting closer.
So here's another question before I let you go, C. Allen. We got to go to a break. What do you think that we can govern AI? Do you think it's governable, or by its very nature, it will be able to advance itself to stay ahead of the legislation?
No. I think we, one of the ways to control it is what I've been talking about for a decade in the Bahamas. He that controls the data. And as a transhumanist that 50 too often speak to, I believe that AI can augment the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is if AI remains in the select hands of small group of individuals mm-hmm. that control access to data, what data is put in, what data is controlled, what data is manipulated, that is where the threat is. So AI is not the threat. Humans are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is what we have to be concerned of. And this is why we have to look for the so-called data sovereignty of individuals, because what happens is mm-hmm. AI is simply processing the collective experience of what's mm-hmm. been made available to them.
Not yet.
Went into the world and has an open access to various different databases. But again, artificial intelligence will only be as dangerous
as the humans who program it.
At the top.
Listen, C. Allen, thank you very much for that contribution. When we continue this conversation, I'm going to have you on. Listen, thank you very, very much.
Yeah, just at the end, what he says about being disabled, if you look at AI being able to help those who cannot walk, cannot mm-hmm. have an eye problem, it's mm-hmm. so much beneficial to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something at minimum that we should have a discussion here in the school, because where we are now, it's not going away, and it's transforming industries. The access to data and being able to process in real time is transforming industries, and that's the more important aspect of it than the threat we think it is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Producer, let's go to a break. When we come back from the break, we have another, you know, C. Allen left us mm-hmm. looking at, I think, which is one of the more important questions. Not only the question of do the positives outweigh the negatives, but can we say no to AI and continue to be a part of the world? Anyway, you're on the clock with Erin Green, Ian Munnings, Mark Palmer, C.A. Newry on this Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're
good for you. Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. It's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday. I'm so happy to be in studio again with Mr. Ian Munnings. I'm going to say Mr. Ian Munnings from the Gladstone Road crew, Mr. Mark Palmer, and Mr. C.A. Newry. We are talking about artificial intelligence. And I just want to say, I hear you all talking about brain-to-brain communications, right? Mm-hmm. And I want us all to be aware that, like, at this point, as far as we are aware of, artificial intelligence can only be informed by that which it finds in the world. At some point, it may be able to access data on its own, right? Like, it may, mm-hmm. the program may decide which books it wants to read today. It may decide which service it's going to plug into today, but it can only be informed by our human perspective on the world.
Which is the training thing that we were, that letter that you mentioned earlier, which was signed about a pause in, you know, a pause of any AI, which is better than Chat GPT-4 for 6 months while we wait and work out, you know, the rules, the ethics behind it, because it is moving incredibly quickly.
Now, what is
my big worry, Aaron, is this.
Yeah. Right?
Because we hear about Google and all these companies that are doing, what about the military?
Listen.
What is the military doing with AI? Because that is top secret,
I would like
right?
to know what the Defense Force is doing with AI as well.
But on a serious matter, when you look back at, you know, what happened recently in the last 3 years, the DOD, the Department of Defense, actually gives NAID $1.6 billion for this kind of for specific research. So the military is very interested in AI, biological warfare, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is secret. And I would imagine some of it is under nobody's control or under, you know, our control of our political directorate.
Yeah.
Because there's always ways you can get around, right? Because if you look at gain of function, that was an example that Obama stopped it. But then the NIH found a way of getting around it by giving it to somebody else who then did that research somewhere else. So you can always get around stuff.
Mr. Newry, Google gain of function.
So the question would be, so the question would be, Aaron,
we
talked about how far would they be now? How far truly are they? You have no idea.
No idea.
So we're looking at in terms of 10, 20 years for this artificial intelligence to be so far gone. But what if we're there now?
But this is what, and this is the question that I have. Okay, so let me read the letter about chat, about GPT-4. But before I read the letter, Mark, exactly what is GPT-4?
It's a language learning program. So it is just, imagine you're writing an essay or putting together or summarizing. That's all it is. And it's self-learning, so it can collect its own data.
Right,
and
so I see
its own conclusions, but also there has to behind it. There is the programming, the training of ChatGPT to become, to have certain values, and it's really interesting at the moment because people, when you ask it particular questions, you're going to get specific answers. That there's the argument to say that it is more democratic rather than Republican in terms of the answers that you get from GPT. So there's clearly some kind of something. Some training going on behind.
Carla, hold on.
My concern is in this environment with education. I'm aware of the search engine. That was a search engine that you mentioned is gain of
function.
Of function, where you could put up a specific topic, and AI creates an independent essay response.
Right.
And how does University of the Bahamas? How does schools deal with that? When this structure can create a brand new essay and give it to you independent
All right. Because if the article don't have my Endeavor Best in it, then it is not generated by a human. It's generated.
You can put comma Endeavor Best.
And all right.
Put
Endeavor Best in okay. It. Let's go to the caller. Sorry, caller. You're on the clock.
I'm sorry to call, but I wanted to punch this in response. To, you know, I remember to open it. I said it has its pros and cons. Right?
Yes.
All right. So what I'm saying is, do you know that? I think it's Google. There's a company paying $250,000 to individuals to live vicariously with a robot and feed their laugh, their speech, their movements, their facial expressions to a robot for the rest of their life. They're paying them $250,000 to $300,000 so they can make all of these algorithms about people. So then, C. Allen was basically saying the same thing what I was saying, but I know about data integrity and data sovereignty and all these things. But what I'm saying is, the question then becomes, why is the narrative saying AI will destroy humans? So then still boils down to who is controlling the autonomous robots. Then we can conclude that we know the depopulation agenda. Why can't I logically conclude that they want to replace humans with artificial, with autonomous robots? Why can't I say that? That's just the way I feel. I born in the 50s. No. I've seen the analog. I've seen the digital.
Nobody.
That's my conclusion. It has to be done incrementally.
I got you. I'm not saying.
I'm
not saying that's you can't say that, because I think that humans. I'm not saying that you can't say that because it's unfair to say that robots would think like that, because humans think like that.
exactly.
And so there's the potential for it.
The interesting thing is, remember there was a survey in 2022 where they asked, I think 50% of the top people working in AI, they said that there was a 10%, in their opinion, existential risks for wiping out humanity. So they already have some concept of what that could be, and that comes back down to control. Can you actually control superintelligence? We're not talking about what C. Allen was referring to, which is we're getting close to general intelligence, but superintelligence becomes so way beyond us, and it creates its own goals, its own values, and its own controls.
All right, let me.
And we may not be able to stop that. Is what?
Right. Let me read these texts, and then we get back to that because I've read articles about scientific teams that have had to pull the plug on their AI projects because they were about to go sentient. Or at least there was a fear. There was a fear that they were about
because
to go
sentient. Because it was reacting in a different way than they had programmed it to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let's get through these texts. Question, do you think an AI unit somewhere is listening to... Yes! Everybody in the world on Mars and the moon listen to Guardian Radio. KB Dunn say he taken rake and scrape into space, and Guardian Radio is the station they playing it on. Thank you very much, Texter. I mean, I believe it. Another text. Good morning. AI, like guns and spoons, is a tool. Tools are not evil or destructive. It is the human that uses these things that cause problems. Megalomaniacs with access to these tools can increase their destructiveness. But how do we prevent people with delusions of grandeur from getting access? You can't. And that's what a part of the conversation today. Another text. Good morning. Can you please tell the... There's many things that I could tell the government. But I don't know if I could tell the government that right now. What I would say is I would like to thank the Chinese government for making a donation to the Bahamian government. In typical fashion, those TVs were to somehow disappear and end up in Tobo and Bogie House, then so be it. That's all I'm saying. But thank you, Texter. Okay, back to these questions.
Well, you know, there's clearly, you know, the letter that was written by these people that there should be a pause, right?
Right.
They clearly have concerns. And they're talking mostly about safety, you know, making it safe. And we all want things to be safe, right? And so what they're saying is safe, I'm reading the letter now, interpretable, transparent, robust, aligned, I think, with good values, trustworthy and loyal. Now, I don't know how you even define those things, but that's what they have to figure out. They're saying, please figure this out. Take a six-month stop, figure out what
and
this
is.
And see,
it's already a sentient space because... Now you say trustworthy and loyal, but listen, people of African descent are going to say, listen, you know, right now some of us are cool, but historically, people of African descent don't know if they could trust people of European descent, right? And who's feeding the machine? But in the last few moments, right, here's the question. Does the Ministry of Education, right, and all of the agencies or ministries that govern or provide oversight for academic and educational institutions, so the oversight for all the tertiary institutions, UB, BTVI, do they have a plan in place? Do they have a policy on AI? Do they have have they already set out terms for use of technology in classrooms, in exams? Do they have the capacity to enforce any rules or policy? And even before enforcement, do they have the capacity to detect? Do you have the capacity to detect that AI is being used in the production of schoolwork?
I think maybe, you know, if a high schooler was using ChatGPT, it would maybe be obvious unless it instructed it to do a high school version of an essay, which it can do.
Right. But is there enough data available to do a culturally applicable or accurate?
Who writes about our culture and our history? Do we do that locally, or is that international?
I think it's Bahamians abroad.
My point is, if it's done internationally, how we are called the Bahamas, that name was given to us. We are in the Atlantic Ocean, that name was given to us. Mm-hmm. And then the definition of where the Bahamas stands and is located is given to us, right? Mm-hmm. It's not self-determinant. Mm-hmm. I would assume that the persons who program the AI has enough data to program anything or give a local response, mm-hmm, or a local essay. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That's why I want to mention that.
Right, and I think issues like net neutrality have to be on the table as well, because you're going to tell me, oh no, Ms. Green, this is fair because AI sourced all of the information, but I'm going to tell you that doesn't mean that my local content created by me and my people is equitably accessible, is as easy to find, or that the machine itself will go to those options first, even though they're written by the people the machine is examining, right? And
plus, we volunteer our own data. We put all of our information on the internet free of charge and not controlling our mm-hmm. authority over it. You know, videos, pictures of the Bahamas, pictures, narrative about who we are, history, family trees. So AI can take all of that and create a new concept and a new document and say, this is us.
Draw his own conclusion.
Absolutely.
Now you asked about can
now we got 1 minute left. Okay. Yeah.
Can you detect ChatGPT? And so there is GPT-0 is now software that you can use to detect whether ChatGPT was used in that whatever you've written.
Listen,
so that's amazing, right?
Yeah, dear Ministry of Education, if you don't have at least one mm-hmm. My Endeavor Best in that article, that essay, it is not Bahamian, it's ChatGPT generated. You notice it's a certain way Bahamians is right, man.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's easy to understand. Anyway, this is On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're going to continue into the second hour. Mr. Newry is going to take the lead. We're getting into a bit more what's in the news and politics. You guys stay tuned. We're having a great day.